This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Week 11 of the college football season is underway. Maction unfolded on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The mayor of Maction, Matt Newmans, joins me now as he does to break down every single game. Matt, I know you're flooded in cash after betting all four of those games. You are the best Mac handicapper I know.
Tim, your sarcasm's off the charts today. You know how much I hate Maction. I'm one of the few people out there. I have a dissenting opinion. Everyone acts like they love Maction, and I don't see many people putting out winning plays on it, but I wish everyone the best of luck. I'm not going to be much involved with Mid-American Conference football. It's not a hot spot for me.
Well, we got plenty of games. It's a very juicy card, a lot of spots to get into, plenty of bets. And, you know, we move on, Matt. It took me about 3 days. I was like Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I was in bed. I didn't want to get out. But here you are. You were my ray of sunshine to get me out of bed and ready to handicap these games and bet some more games. So let's jump right into it with the biggest games on the card, and let's call those the main course.
The main course.
All right, Matt, noon Eastern, your favorite time slot, ABC. We've got a top 10 showdown in the latest college football playoff rankings. Number 7, BYU, unbeaten on the year, taking on 7-1 Texas Tech. Right now, as we look at the betting board, Texas Tech either a 10 or a 10.5 point favorite as this game heads down to Lubbock and reminds us a little bit of that iconic game that our good friend Brent Musburger called back in 2008 when Michael Crabtree tiptoed the sideline against Texas to beat then number 1 Texas. I don't think it's as big, but this is certainly a game that kind of rivals that game back in 08.
I remember that game very well. And as far as this Texas Tech team, you had the hiccup at Arizona State in the middle of October. That was a wild finish to that game. Otherwise, this has been a really tough team to bet against. And the same thing for BYU for the most part. I've said this, BYU is one of those teams that seem to have a horseshoe stuck up you know where. And a couple weeks ago, a lot of people trying to bet against the Cougars when they went in that tough spot off the win against Utah, went on the road to Iowa State, fell behind 17-7. Rocco Beck throws a stupid pick, and the entire game turns around as Cyclones make a bunch of mistakes and they fall apart. Turns out Iowa State's just a bad football team. So that's not really a win to brag about as far as BYU's concerned, even though at the time it looked like it was pretty good. I'm not going to try to bet against Texas Tech. This number looks high. If you force me to bet it, because you don't know, I don't weigh these big numbers, I'd probably take the 10.5, but I'm just stay on the sidelines for this one.
Yeah, I'm actually going to lay it here, Matt. And you and I bet very similarly. Very rarely do we lay chalk, but I really like this Texas Tech team. And you mentioned it. You look at BYU, been more than fortunate in a handful of games. Bill Conley has a stat per his SP Plus, second chance win total. And BYU, who is 8-0, his numbers say they should be around 6-2. His numbers come out to 6.2 and 1.8. So I do like this Texas Tech team a lot. You mentioned the hiccup that they had against Arizona State, the last stand for Sam Levitt and a healthy Arizona State team, even though Jordan Tyson didn't play in that game. You know, it's pretty wild. I saw this stat. BYU is now the fourth FBS team in the last 10 years, Matt, to enter a conference game 8-0 or better and be a double-digit dog. And that's what we have here. 66% of the tickets at DraftKings via our VSiN betting splits are on BYU. So you got a bit of a trendy dog. I just think this kind of shapes up a little bit like we saw last week in the Big 12, where you had a Cincinnati team, kind of a hot dog, head into Utah and get absolutely destroyed. So you mentioned it, BYU, hard to bet against. They don't really beat themselves up. But is BYU going to be able to keep David Bailey from getting to Bear Bachmeyer? Texas Tech 5-0 this year, ATS at home, covering by 6 points per game. Guns up. in a great atmosphere. It's a noon window, so I'm sure I'll be pulling my hair out here, but I'll take Texas Tech, Matt. I think the number's telling you the story. I'll lay the chalk here with the Red Raiders. There are 10s out there, so don't take the 10.5, obviously. If you're going to be betting Texas Tech, make sure you get a 10 on the Red Raiders, Matt. So let's get to the CBS window, 3:30. And we've got another ranked matchup. The college football playoff rankings liked what they have seen from Iowa and their two losses so far this year to Indiana and Iowa State. So they are ranked in the playoff rankings, not in the AP poll. And they're taking on number 9 Oregon, Matt. And this is a very interesting game. Very, very low total. Right now, the number sitting at 40.5 for Iowa and Oregon. Weather could be in store for Iowa City coming up on Saturday afternoon. So what do you make of Iowa hosting the Ducks as a 6.5-point dog?
When you say there's weather, there's always weather. You mean inclement weather or what sort of weather issues? What sort of weather issues are there? Is it going to be wind? Is it going to be rain or snow? I actually didn't see the weather report. Do you know what it is?
I believe there could be some snow, Matt. There's going to be lots of rain, a little bit of wind. So, yeah, there actually could be some snow there. Okay. So it will not be a pretty, aesthetically pleasing game, which maybe plays into the hands of Iowa.
Right. You know, I was on doing a podcast yesterday, and the host was all about Oregon. He loved Oregon in this game. And I said, I lean Iowa. So we disagreed on that one. But I have not bet Iowa. I want to get 7. You would probably have to buy. I think you'd have to buy it to 7 right now because it's 6.5 or 6 pretty much everywhere. But, again, Hawkeyes are a team that want to drag you into the mud. They want to make it a football game in a pig pen, and that's the contrasting styles. From the Oregon Ducks, who want to spread the field and beat you with speed. And I think that's what makes this matchup so intriguing. You know, we saw Indiana go to Iowa City a little over a month ago. It was a classic Kirk Ferentz type of situation where Iowa had, I believe, a 2nd and 4 or 2nd and 5. Just had to pick up a first down. They were going to be in field goal range. They could milk the clock, kick the field goal, beat Indiana. Well, Ferentz... they ran 2 plays up the middle, got nothing, had to try to kick a field goal, missed it, and then Indiana wins the game. Let the Hoosiers off the hook, but Iowa was the right side in that game. There's no question about it. I think Iowa might be the right side here, too. You know, make a lot of jokes about Gronowski and how this passing offense at times can look so pathetic. But they can move the ball on the ground. Gronowski can run it, and the Hawkeyes can move the ball on the ground and control the clock and kind of make it their style of football. So I'm leaning towards taking Iowa here. It's going to be on my best bet list today. But I haven't bet it yet because I want to get 7. If I have to, I'm probably going to have to buy it to 7.
Yeah, this is a game that I stared long and hard at. Haven't made a bet on it yet, but I was looking at maybe first half, Iowa plus 3.5. There's a number of those out there. Is this an ugly first half, kind of a feeling out process? And I think the point you made about Iowa and Indiana is a fair one. Both these teams have played Indiana. Indiana went to Eugene, got the 10-point win. Iowa right there with the Hoosiers and was able to cover, obviously, in that game as well. So not a bet yet for me, but one that I'm looking at.
Should have won the game, Tim. Yep. You know, it's when you reflect on that, I was at the Westgate Superbook watching it that day. And I said, look at Cignetti. He's sweating. He knows they're backed against the wall right now, and they're in big trouble because Iowa, I think on that first down run, had 5 or 6 yards. And if they get that first down, they're going to milk the clock, hit a chip shot field goal, and win the game. And Ferentz let them off the hook. Hawkeyes should have beat Indiana that day. For all we talk about Kurt Cignetti taking no prisoners and all the blowouts, Iowa should have won that game. And then I was really impressed when the Hoosiers went to Eugene and physically manhandled Oregon at the line of scrimmage. And look, Oregon had a pick 6 in that game. Defense had a pick 6 and still lost by 10 on their home field. So I think this Iowa team's being a little bit underrated.
Matt, nighttime down in Tuscaloosa, one of the better rivalries in the sport over the past couple of years, took a bit of a hit as LSU has underachieved this year, but this game's still 7:30 on ABC. Alabama coming in at number 4 in the college football playoff rankings. They are massively favored to make the college football playoff, and LSU, of course, the last time we saw them, it was a loss, and Brian Kelly was then fired after that. So step in Frank Wilson. Wilson, who is an LSU guy. And, you know, it's interesting. We had Jimmy Ott, our good friend from ESPN Baton Rouge, on VSiN Primetime after Brian Kelly was fired. He said Frank Wilson's family, you know, to Jimmy Ott and to the folks down there in the Bayou. So could we get the fired coach bump here, Matt, in Tuscaloosa? I would imagine if this game was at Death Valley, maybe more appealing to look at LSU. The game of the year line was 6.5 in favor of Bama. It's now double digits. Any interest at looking at LSU here in this spot against Alabama?
A little bit of interest, but for now, it's going to be a pass for me. I'm going to let you handicap this game for the most part. I mean, I think the coaching change is going to be a positive. I would assume, Tim, that most of these LSU players did not like Brian Kelly, and they're happy as hell that he's gone. So I think you're going to see a better attitude from the LSU team here. Ty Simpson, right now, 68% completions, 20 touchdowns, one pick. I know a lot of people touting him for the Heisman. It's like the Florida State game doesn't matter, right? He played poorly in the Florida State game, but that's, you know, week one, so it's forgotten now. That's why I keep talking about Indiana's Fernando Mendoza for the Heisman, and I bet him plus 250 to win the Heisman. I bet Mendoza a couple times now. I guess the Ty Simpson poor performance against Florida State doesn't matter to all the people who are touting that, because Mendoza has not had a poor performance this season. He's got better numbers really across the board. Tim, I'll just mention this. This is going to be another Heisman case I'm going to make for Mendoza. He's got 29 total touchdowns. Simpson's got 22. Julian Sand of Ohio State's got 23 total touchdowns, and Sand doesn't really have anything to speak of on the ground. Mendoza, much more effective quarterback on the ground. Simpson's got two rushing TDs, but he doesn't run the ball much. As far as this game, I got a little bit of interest in LSU, but if Ty Simpson does have a big game, he puts up big numbers here, he is going to have a much stronger Heisman case. I still feel like Mendoza should be the favorite right now. I don't have a bet on this game. Talk us into a side, Tim.
I don't know if I am. I'm kind of with you. I'm a little wishy-washy here. LSU was the side that I was looking at. You look at their defense. The metrics are still pretty good. Not great, but still pretty good. And look, that second half against Texas A&M was pretty alarming to me. And I know it was the undoing for Brian Kelly. He ultimately gets fired. He gets his big old buyout to enjoy with his family down there and wherever he ultimately moves on to. But I do think, you know, the fired coach bump certainly could play in here. We saw a really inspired effort by Florida last week. They got the cover. And as you know, and as you pointed out, it wasn't a bad beat. It was the right side. Florida was able to get home there with that kneel down by Gunnar Stockton at the end of the game. So I am looking at LSU. That would be the case that I would look at. But, you know, one thing that we've noted, Matt, about Hawaii a lot, and obviously we'll get to them later on in the program, is how well they've played at home, right? Since Timmy Chang has become the head coach of the Rainbow Warriors, they're 18-6-1 ATS. Well, guess who has the exact same cover number at home since 2022? That would be the Alabama Crimson Tide. This team has played extremely well at home and has covered some big numbers as well. So Alabama, I think the bye was important for them. They had a brutal stretch of Georgia, Vandy, Missouri, Tennessee. Very fortunate to sneak out a win on the road at South Carolina. I think you get a team that's recharged their batteries a little bit. I don't think it's a look ahead because it's such a massive game, such a rivalry game, but they do have Oklahoma on deck. It would be LSU or pass, maybe first half plus 6.5. Does that number creep up? So I looked long and hard at LSU first half plus 6.5 here, Matt, but ultimately have not made a bet yet on this game. Speaking of the team that got Brian Kelly fired, or was the final nail in his coaching coffin down there at LSU, that would be Texas A&M, and they head on the road to take on Missouri in a very intriguing matchup with a new quarterback and a bit of an unknown. We'll talk about that game and plenty more, but let's take a quick break. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. That's Matt Newmans. I'm Tim Murray. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on all of your podcast forums, iTunes, and Spotify. Give us a 5-star rating and review. Also, check us out on YouTube. Record numbers last week, and thanks to all of you who watched on YouTube and hit that subscribe button on YouTube. I mentioned it before the break, Matt. 3:30 on ABC. Undefeated and third-ranked Texas A&M hits the road to take on Missouri, a Missouri team that will be without their starting quarterback in Bo Prabula. I know you were high on this Missouri team preseason. What do you make of this spot here in Columbia with the Mizzou Tigers catching 7 against Texas A&M?
Yeah, you're right. I was sky high on the Tigers, and they're at 6-2 right now. I need them to get over 7 wins, or at least to get to 7 to push. It's not going to be easy at this point. Bo Prabula goes down, but I do like Matt Zollers. So the 6'4 freshman quarterback who stepped in against Vandy, threw for 138 yards and a touchdown, and I like this spot. I would love it here if Missouri can pull off the upset. I think it's possible. A&M's had big game after big game after big game. Teams like this got a real target on their back. And you go on the road in the SEC, it's hard to keep cranking out wins here. And I think Missouri off the bye is in a great spot, even though the Prabula did go down. Tim, if you've watched Missouri closely, up front, offensive and defensive lines, this team's really physical. And the defensive front is outstanding. It doesn't get talked about as much. People love to brag about the Ohio State defense and the Texas defense. Nobody talks about the Missouri defense. And I love this Missouri defense. And if you watch the Vandy game, Commodores were having all sorts of trouble. Diego Pavia and the Commodores are having all kinds of trouble with this Missouri D. Commodores busted one big play. They had a call go their way and ended up getting the win in that game. Ahmad Hardy might be the best running back in the SEC. So I think the Tigers are in a pretty good spot here. I'm happy to get 7. I thought this number was going to be right around 3.5 or 4. So give me Missouri as a 7-point home dog, and I think I'll have a little on the Tigers on the money line, too. I think they got a decent shot to pull the upset.
Yeah, coming off a bye, some more time to prepare for Zollers to step in for Mizzou. And you mentioned that Vandy game. They outgained Vandy by over 100 yards in that one. So Texas A&M, big number, or small number, I guess I should say, by their name at number 3, one of the 3 unbeatens atop the rankings there, with A&M coming in at 3 behind Indiana and Ohio State. Matt, you know, last night the Murray household, a little taco night. Made sure I got some of that extra spicy salsa to throw on top of those beef tacos. And it always gets us hungry around this time. So let's get to those types of matchups here for week number 11.
Muy caliente.
Spicy matchups.
Well, Matt, Kirk Cignetti, we talked about it on VSiN Primetime last week. He is going full on Lou Holtz back in the early 90s, really talking up the opposition, talking highly about UCLA. Well, you know, they're 3-0. Since they made the changes, they beat them 56-6. Maryland, well, they got a good long snapper. They got a good short snapper. Great kicking game. Well, now you got Penn State, Matt, and I haven't heard what Cignetti said about the Nittany Lions, but I'm sure this would be a fun one for him to win, because a lot of people thought maybe Kirk Cignetti will go back to Pennsylvania, where he's from, and be the head coach of Penn State. Not the case. He got a big old payday. He's staying in Indiana. And we've got this spot, noon Eastern on Fox, the big noon kickoff treatment. And right now, Indiana, a 14.5-point favorite at most sportsbooks. Circa's a 14. The Westgate Superbook's a 15, Matt. Penn State, can they show some life and cover against the juggernaut that is Indiana?
Tim, how about this? In 2023, Penn State was a 31-point home favorite against Indiana. Now a 15.5-point home dog. How's that for a turnaround and a role reversal? And Indiana, I think, has only got 2 wins in the history of this series. But I am going to take the points of Penn State here. Last week, Nittany Lions were hanging in with Ohio State and Columbus, 17-14 game at the half. Couple bounces, couple calls go the Buckeyes' way, and they end up pulling away to win that 38-14 and get the cover like Ohio State seems to always do one way or another, get the cover on those inflated numbers. Cignetti, like I said, taking no prisoners and is a tough guy to bet against right now. But look, you don't roll into Happy Valley and blow out Penn State very often. In fact, I'm going to give you a number on this. This courtesy of Mark Lawrence and his playbook. I'll give it to you in a second here about how rare it is for teams to go into Happy Valley and blow out Penn State or win by double digits. But Ethan Grunkemeyer, the quarterback who's had to replace Drew Aller, has got a couple starts under his belt now. He's going to be at home, so he's going to be more comfortable in this sort of situation. And Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen on the ground should be able to at least move the sticks a little bit, control the ball, keep the Indiana offense off the field at times. And I can't ignore this number of 15. I took 15 and a half here with Penn State. Here's the fact from Mark Lawrence, the incredible stat of the week, which is in his playbook magazine. Penn State has lost a total of 17 home games by 17 points or more in Happy Valley since 1967. It goes back over 400 games. And I know Kurt Cignetti is blowing away barriers and rewriting the history books in terms of what the Hoosiers are doing here. But I think Penn State's got the personnel, and in this sort of situation, they can hang within this number. I know there was a lot of sharp money that came in on Penn State plus 20 or so last week in Columbus. It didn't get there, but the Nittany Lions did put up a fight. Now you're getting 15 and a half in Happy Valley. I've got to take it, Tim, just based on that, based on principle, give me Penn State and the points.
Staying in the noon window, Matt, you and I have backed Mississippi State a handful of times this year. Mentioned that Texas Tech is 5-0 ATS at home this year, as is Mississippi State. And you think back to a loss that they're probably still dreading, the blown lead against Texas. So they have proven to be, ready for it, Matt, feisty at home here in this spot. And for Georgia, this is a tricky spot, right? You're coming off of the cocktail party. It was a hard-fought win. Next week, you're hosting Texas, and now you've got to go on the road, early start time down there in Stark Vegas with the cowbells ringing. I looked at Mississippi State. I ended up staying off of the Bulldogs here. We'll see if we get 10. That might get me involved here on Mississippi State. How about this nugget my buddy Todd Furman sent over to me? In the last 22 games against unranked teams, Georgia is 3-18-1 against the spread. So that is obviously not a very strong indicator that Georgia will win big, but this is a bit of a shorter number than I was expecting. So it's going to be a pass for me. Any interest in looking at the home Bulldogs going up against the road Georgia Bulldogs?
Yeah, there's definitely some interest. I mean, we've talked on this podcast all season, and twice I've said more cowbell. Come up with Mississippi State as a home dog against Arizona State and as a dog against Texas, right? And we got there both times. I'm not going to play him here against Georgia. And Todd Furman's ATS fact he sent you is obviously intriguing, because we know that Georgia is not a juggernaut when it comes to covering numbers like Ohio State. That's why a lot of times I'll take the points against Georgia in a lot of spots. I'm not going to do it this week. And the reason is I don't want to press my luck here with Mississippi State. Also, there are three teams on the field, and it's 2-on-1. It's the SEC officiating crew and Georgia against Mississippi State. That's a lot of forces you got to fight there, because every call has been going Georgia's way. And if a controversial call goes Georgia's way and the Bulldogs win this game by 10, I don't want to be sitting here complaining about it. So I'm going to pass. But I certainly understand if anybody wants to take the points with the Bulldogs.
Well, you've let me know there's a fine line between genius and jerk, and I felt that very significantly last week, unfortunately, with Mississippi State overcoming a 2-touchdown deficit in the fourth quarter and beating Arkansas with a, I believe, 72% postgame win expectancy there for the Arkansas Razorbacks. So that was enjoyable to be on the other side of that. But sometimes you got to take ugly dogs, and the next couple of plays are going to be some ugly dogs from the both of us, and you're going to start us off here. Let's go to the land of the Badgers, Camp Randall, Wisconsin, at home, a double-digit dog against Washington. This will be a 4:30 kickoff on Big Ten Network, Matt. Do we like Luke Fickell and the Wisconsin Badgers catching 11 or 11 and a half?
Tim, do you think Fickell's going to be back as coach next season?
I do.
It's starting to look that way. And I know that, you know, a few weeks ago, everybody was waiting for Fickell to be fired. He's got a buyout of around $25 million. It drops a little bit after the season, but it sounds like because of the buyout and the statement put out by the AD that Fickell probably going to be around next year. And I think that's going to surprise a lot of people. But I'll tell you this, before the bye, I was impressed. I don't know if it was the rain, if the Ducks were asleep at the wheel or what was going on that day. But that was a very bizarre game, Wisconsin at Oregon in late October. And that was one that the Ducks won 21-7. Badgers stopped their scoreless streak with a late score in the fourth quarter. That was their first points they had put on the board in three games after getting shut out back-to-back by Iowa and Ohio State. I'm really troubled by the Wisconsin passing attack, but I'm taking the points here with the Badgers as home dogs. I got 11.5, and I'm going to take it because the Huskies have not been very strong away from home, and I think this is going to be another one of those ugly, low-scoring type of games where the Badgers are going to hang in. They're going to play hard for Luke Fickell like they did in the game at Oregon before the bye week.
Yeah, this is an ugly dog, but I kind of agree with you. I mean, you look at the offensive numbers, it is horrifying when you look at what Wisconsin has done this year. How about these numbers, Matt? 135 in scoring offense, 135 points per play, 135 total offense, 135 yards per play. But that all being said, they're at home. They face one of the toughest schedules in college football. As you mentioned, they're coming off a bye, as is Washington. So an ugly dog for you there. Matt, how about backing a team that gave up over 600 yards of offense a week ago and got absolutely destroyed by Florida State? Because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Wake Forest here, getting the points against Virginia. I've discussed it. I can't stand this Virginia team. You talked about BYU having a horseshoe up there. You know what? There's no team with a bigger horseshoe up there, you know what, than Virginia. How about this, Matt? If you look at the eight games that they've won, or their record to this point, 8-1 for Virginia, Bill Connelly has them saying they should be about 5-3 or 5-4. They have overachieved basically the numbers by almost three full wins, which is just insane. And look, Virginia will meet their match. I really believe it. But I think Wake Forest, even though they didn't show it last week, they were a dead dog, and I thought that line was an indicator. They were a double-digit dog against Florida State coming off the SMU game. But you look at some of the metrics for Wake Forest, Matt. They're number five in defense. This is a team that, you know, outside of last week when they got absolutely destroyed, they've been more than capable defensively. And think about how they've played against some of the better teams in the conference. Granted, these two teams came at home. They should have beat Georgia Tech, if not screwed by the reps. And then they did beat SMU, and they tried to give that game away. So the first bet I made this week was Wake Forest plus 7.5. There's still sevens out there. I think the Demon Deeks are competitive here against Virginia. And look, Virginia at 8-1, being the highest-ranked ACC team, can they really afford to overlook anybody? I would say no. That all being said, Matt, next week's game against Duke really shapes up to be kind of a play-in game for the ACC championship. So that's a massive one where right now in the look-ahead market, they're actually an underdog against the Blue Devils. I'll take the points here with the Demon Deeks. I think this could be a tricky one for Virginia, and I'm buying Wake Forest off of a absolutely embarrassing performance. I said 600 yards. They were outgained 421 to 247, so I was a little bit off there, but I'll take Wake Forest catching the points here against Virginia. Matt, staying in the conference, we mentioned Duke. How about this situational spot in Connecticut on Saturday, 3:30, CBS Sports Network? We've got the Blue Devils at UConn. Duke coming off of their first win, Matt, at Clemson in 45 years. And next week, as mentioned, they take on Virginia. This week, they have to go on the road to take on a capable UConn football squad.
Mm-hmm. I think the situation sets up really well for UConn. And by the way, this is a pretty good UConn team, Tim. Not too many people talk about it, but it's a 6-3 team with your favorite quarterback, Joey Fagnano. How about this? 68.8% completions, 22 touchdowns, no interceptions. Where's the Heisman hype for Joe Fagnano? I don't hear it. Maybe we should hear it. I actually think it's a good situational spot and a team that some people are sleeping on a little bit, in the UConn Huskies, well-coached team. I like this spot here. I was kind of waiting this week for the number to get to 10, but I don't think we're going to see a 10 pop up. In fact, 9.5 all the way across the screen. And I do see a 9 and 8.5 out there. So I'm not going to wait for 10. I'm taking a 9.5 on UConn. The spot and the matchup, I think, are good for the home dog Huskies.
Yeah, both these teams very good offensively, as you mentioned. I mean, look at some of the weapons UConn has. Wisconsin transfer Skylar Bell, 994 receiving yards, 11 touchdowns so far this year. Cam Edwards, their running back, 815 on the ground. And it's not like Duke is a slouch, obviously, offensively. Fagnano, 6th in the country in passing yards. Darian Mensah, 5th in the country in passing yards. And the Harvard transfer Cooper Barcade is his top target, 774 yards receiving. Duke enters this game, Matt, 18th in the country in total offense. UConn, 20th in the country in total offense. And also, maybe a little bit of revenge, right? Last year, UConn, as a 17-point dog, blew a fourth-quarter lead against the Blue Devils down in Durham. So when you're an independent like UConn is, and we saw it against Boston College, we saw it when they went on the road and forced overtime in a game they probably should have beat Syracuse. This is their Super Bowl, and they've got an opportunity to beat an ACC team, and you just wonder about Duke's mindset heading into this kind of random game in the schedule, sandwiched in between a Clemson game where they, by the way, had no business winning with that horrific pass interference call that went against Clemson late in that game, and then the UVA game next. So common play for both of us, UConn plus the points. Matt, let's take a break. When we come back, let's go out west a little late night action that you are looking to bet with the Corn and the Bruins. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We will get to the Hawaii game a little bit later on. And just a reminder, our friends at Rainbow Authentics have been a proud sponsor of this podcast all year long. You often see me rocking my Rainbow Authentics hat. They've got great gear. Holiday season coming around. Maybe a little Rainbow Authentics in your loved one's life. The officials are your source of game-used apparel, autographs, trading cards from Hawaii student-athletes. Every item tells a story, whether it's a game-worn jersey, a sign ball, or unique collectibles. You'll be capturing the moment and owning a piece of Hawaii sports history. Beyond memorabilia, Rainbow Authentics committed to supporting the community. Their mission is rooted in empowering student-athletes. So if you want to give back and help out Hawaii Athletics, as well as getting some great gear in the process, rainbowauthentics.com. Mahalo to our friends at Rainbow Authentics, the proud sponsor of this podcast. Matt, 9 o'clock Eastern on Fox. Let's go out to the Rose Bowl, one of your favorite stadiums in all of sports. And the UCLA Bruins taking on Nebraska. No more Dylan Raiola. And I might as well say sayonara to my win total on Nebraska. Right now, UCLA, a very short home favorite, 1.5 against the Corn.
Yeah, and I always say be leery of really short home favorites. So a little bit uncomfortable with this. But UCLA would have been a home dog before what happened with Dylan Raiola. And I think the quarterback shift here for the Cornhuskers is a big, big deal because I don't like the backup at all. TJ Latif came in last week against USC's 5 for 7 for 7 yards. And he's got trouble moving the ball through the air. I think if you're the UCLA defensive coordinator, you have to load up against the run here because Cornhuskers are going to be so one-dimensional. They can't beat you through the air. So you load up to stop Emmett Johnson, Nebraska's stud running back, and you say, hey, TJ Lateef, if you can beat us through the air, good luck, and we'll take our chances. Don't forget, UCLA was a really hot team before the Bruins went to Bloomington and got blown out by Kurt Cignetti. They're off a bye. I think a pretty good spot here. And with the quarterback change, I have to bet against Nebraska.
All right, Matt, let's stay in the night window. We're going to go to Lexington, Kentucky, SEC Network, Florida at Kentucky. You know, we've talked about the fired coach bump so much on this podcast, and it came through last week. I ended up taking a little Florida first half. You had them full game, both cashed. And now you go on the road to Lexington. It's going to be a night game. Mark Stoops' squad, as we saw last week, they could be pretty stingy defensively. The offense, that's a bit of a different story. It's not that pretty, but you look at the injury report, Matt, for Florida. Good God. Dallas Wilson, their stud freshman wide receiver, he's out for this game. Probably not going to play a game if I had to guess. Again, Eugene Wilson, their leading receiver, had 9 catches for a 121 and a touchdown. He's out. A handful of other receivers that have been sidelined. Maybe they return here. I know Brown and Mizell both listed it as questionable, Matt. Look, Kentucky at home gave up a bunch of yards to Tennessee, but you think back to the Texas game, they held Texas to 179 yards of offense. They held Auburn to 240 yards of offense. There's a 3.5 out there. It's juiced at FanDuel. I took it. I'll take Kentucky here as a home dog. Great atmosphere, I would imagine. And you do wonder, Matt, off of that cocktail party, is there a letdown factor for this Florida team heading on the road to Kentucky? It felt like they gave that game everything they had, and now you have to go on the road. You're a short favorite. I like the short home dog here in Kentucky, catching 3.5.
Tim, I think you're right. The Gators put so much into that game against Georgia and kind of had it taken away from them. I hate to say that, but there were 3 major calls in that game. And all 3 went Georgia's way and against Florida, and that helped determine the outcome of that game. It's going to be hard to come back and bet Florida again this week. I think off that big rivalry loss, team's probably a little bit deflated. And if you look at the series trends here, very strong in favor of Kentucky. I'm not sure a lot of people would realize that the series has been so tilted in that direction in terms of ATS trends. So it would be Kentucky or pass. I'm going to pass for right now, but I could, if I'm going to be on a side, it's going to be the home dog.
Matt, a game that neither one of us have a bet on, but Navy's at Notre Dame, NBC's 7:30. I'm getting emotional thinking about, you know, this great rivalry between these two programs. You know, I can tell. It hits me hard. per Sagarin, how about this, Matt? Notre Dame, 13th in the country in strength of schedule. Navy, 146th, as Brad Powers pointed out in his newsletter. It's the biggest difference this week in college football between two teams' schedule strength. It's also the biggest spread Notre Dame's had against a Service Academy team since 2006 when they played Army almost 20 years ago. So this number is enormous. Navy, maybe a bit inflated going into their game against North Texas, where they lost by 2 touchdowns. Worth noting, Notre Dame will be without a couple of good defensive linemen. Donovan Heinisch out with a concussion. Gabe Rubio's got an elbow injury. Notre Dame should not be stopped in this game. Navy's defense is not very good, but laying 26 points against the Service Academy is not something that I really want to get involved in. Also in that night slot, Matt, let's go to a game that you do have a bet on. ACC Network, Florida State and Clemson. The Clemson Tigers, man, they got screwed. Let's just call it what it is. It wasn't pretty, but they should have beat Duke a week ago. They did not. And Dabo since then has been on kind of a scorched earth tour, just speaking his mind, calling out referees for accountability. Do you think Clemson plays off of their fired up coach and beats Florida State on Saturday night at Death Valley?
I do, but again, this is similar to a UCLA game where I hate playing short home favorites, and Clemson's a short home favorite here, 1.5 to 2. And I do like Clemson, though. I think this home losing streak against Power Four opponents is going to come to an end. I don't like this Florida State team. That's a big part of it for me. I don't like the team. I think Mike Norvell's kind of lost control of the situation a little bit. And I don't like Tommy Castellanos, the quarterback. That said, Cade Klubnik is off probably his best game of the season, Tim. 385 passing yards in that loss to Duke. And if you look at Klubnik's, I'm pulled up here one more time. Klubnik, 385 passing. It was 27 for 36. That's 10.7 yards per attempt there, and two touchdowns with no picks. I thought he was really good in that game against Duke and put Clemson in position to win, and they let it get away. Obviously, the officiating, a big factor in how the Blue Devils were able to pull that out. Clemson Tigers still playing hard. Quarterback's playing well. I like Clemson here against a Florida State team that I've tried to fade in several spots and been successful with that. So let's do it one more time.
Well, let's take one more break. And when we come back, I know everyone is waiting with bated breath for that last game on the board. Timmy Chang told us on VSiN Primetime that they're America's team because they're always that last game on the board, the chase game. Well, that's the case this week, and we'll dive into San Diego State and Hawaii. Is there value on the Bows? We'll dive into that next right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. That's Matt Newmans. I'm Tim Murray. And Matt, you and I, back in August, we headed out to Honolulu to watch the Rainbow Warriors get a huge win over Stanford. Since then, Hawaii has won 5 more games. They're 6-3, coming off a loss last week against San Jose State, but it was an entertaining game, needless to say, between the Spartans and the Rainbow Warriors. And now San Diego State heads out to Honolulu. San Diego State, Matt, one of the better stories this year. Sean Lewis's squad has been phenomenal defensively. And what was interesting about this point spread, Matt, the look-ahead number, and shout out to Matt Grill, our friend over at DraftKings, they put out a look-ahead number. It was 2.5 in favor of the Aztecs, and then it reopened at 3.5, and it got absolutely smashed up to 7. There was even a 7.5 out there. Right now, 6.5 or 7 is the number. This game at 11 p.m., and as always, our Hawaii preview brought to you by our friends at Nohoku, Hawaii's finest jeweler since 1924. For nearly 100 years, Nohoku has been sharing the spirit of aloha through an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island lifestyle jewelry. Each piece is inspired by the beauty and traditions of the islands, crafted with Hawaiian gold and rare gemstones. Nohoku designs are timeless, perfect for celebrating life's most important moments, from a special keepsake to an engagement ring, or with Christmas right around the corner, just a simple gift to capture the aloha spirit. They've got over 30 locations across Hawaii and on the mainland as well. So check them out. Nohoku, Nahoku.com. It's easy to find your own piece of paradise. So Matt, let's dive into this one. And can you confirm or deny if you will be attending this game out in Honolulu on Saturday night?
Tim, by the way, nobody reads that Nohoku promo better than you do, but it's more effective when you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So can you put the Hawaiian shirt on that next week when you read the promo? I will be at this game. I am making a quick trip to Honolulu this week for San Diego State, Hawaii. Looking forward to it. This is the game this week that I'm anticipating the most. So I said, going to jump on a Hawaiian Airlines flight and head out and catch this game. Late Friday night. I'll be there by Saturday morning, and it's going to be a good one. I've got already bet Hawaii +7. I made the number 3.5 on this game, and I think San Diego State's defensive improvements have been exaggerated a little bit I know over the last three games, the Aztecs have allowed a combined 17 points, and there have been some pretty impressive wins, don't get me wrong. Love the way this Sean Lewis team has turned things around since that blowout loss at Washington State in early September. Six wins in a row, and I thought the most impressive win was probably 23-0 at Fresno 2 weeks ago. Aztecs were a little bit sluggish offensively last week against Wyoming in that 24-7 win in San Diego. But here's the key in the handicap for me. Yes, this Aztecs defense has looked dominant recently, but Tam, it's been against some of the worst teams and worst offenses in the Mountain West. And guess what? Hawaii's probably got the best offense in the Mountain West. When Mike Alejado is healthy and everything's rolling with this dynamic group of receivers, Hawaii's offense is tough to stop. Over the last four, Alejado has averaged 385 yards passing, and the team has averaged 39.3 points. I'm not surprised by what happened in San Jose last week, because I thought getting to six wins and bowl eligibility before the bye was a bad thing, and I thought Hawaii would come out a little complacent in San Jose, and that was exactly what happened in the first half. So I think you're going to get a much more motivated Hawaii team here. And Tim, we both like Timmy Chang in the home dog role. And you're the official Timmy Chang biographer now when it comes to ATS trends. But you mentioned he's 18-6-1, right? 18-6-1 ATS since he's been there in Honolulu. And what's his record as a dog ATS? Home dog.
12-5, Matt. 12-5 as a home dog.
12-5 as a home dog. He's been on a really impressive run here. So in terms of the situation, I think it sets up a lot better for Hawaii this week. And the matchup, I think, is a pretty good one. Now, Aztecs are going to have success running the ball. Lucky Sutton is a workhorse running back for San Diego State. He's not Marshall Faulk or Rashad Penny, but he's pretty good. And this San Diego State team is starting to remind me of the Rocky Long era. Aztecs, when they had a subpar quarterback. Jaden Denegal's okay at quarterback, but he's not that great. They won games with defense and a running attack, and that's the way they're winning games right now. But I'm not sure this defense is all it's cracked up to be. When you unleash Alejado and these wide receivers in Honolulu on Saturday night, we're going to find out a lot about this San Diego State defense. I'm taking Hawaii +7. Also, a little bit on the money line.
I'm looking forward to this game. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. Our guy Kanoa Leahy will be on the call. Spectrum Sports, also Mountain West app, so you can get it for free on the Mountain West app. You mentioned a lot of the points that I was going to hit on. I will talk positively here about San Diego State. They're now the odds-on favorite to win the Mountain West, Matt, after Maddox Madsen went down with injury, and the drop-off at quarterback from Madsen to the backup is catastrophic for Boise State. So, sure. You know, San Diego State hosts Boise next week. I don't think this is necessarily a look ahead, but it does feel San Diego State maybe a bit inflated. They do have Boise State at home next week in a huge opportunity to kind of put a stranglehold on the Mountain West. But looking at San Diego State, 7-1 ATS, Matt, they have the best cover margin in college football this year. They have covered the number by 15 points per game. They're number two in the country in scoring defense, number six in the country in total defense, but the strength of schedule, you mentioned it, 125th in the country per Sagarin. And listen to these passing offenses they faced in the last five games. Northern Illinois, 134. Colorado State, 104. Nevada, 125. Fresno State, 112. Wyoming, 102. Hawaii is seventh in the country in passing yards per game at 307. And Micah Alejado, as you mentioned, has been on fire lately. So I'm going to take the points here. It's going to be a sellout crowd. You'll be a part of it. You'll be waving your delay on the sideline there, I'm sure. Maybe you'll get the pregame pep talk to the Rainbow Warrior squad and say, hey, we've got you catching the points here. So we need you to take care of business. But I'm with you. If you can get seven, which you can get out there, I'm with you on the Rainbow Warrior. Should be a really fun one. Great atmosphere out there on the island, Matt, late night. 11 p.m. Eastern kickoff. All right. Here's what we're going to do here, Matt. We are going to say goodbye to all of our friends watching us on the FAST channel, but we have other games to get to, more bets to get to, as well as our best bet recap on the YouTube page, as well as our podcast. So just a reminder, we're up on YouTube. VSiN, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. And you also can find us wherever you get podcasts, iTunes, and Spotify. So we'll get to our best bet recap and a couple more games and a couple more best bets as well. But adios to the VSiN Fast Channel. More to come on the other side. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. A couple more games to hit on, maybe a little rapid fire. We'll also get best bet recap as well. Tell you one thing, you're not going to get a better preview of a Hawaii football game than on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. That is, that's for damn sure. Matt, you and I, we say it every week, we don't like betting noon games, and yet every week I look at my card and I've got damn noon games on here. And a team that you swore off a couple weeks ago, I am going to back again. This will be the fourth time this year I am betting the Temple Owls. So I will be taking the 7, Matt, with Temple against Army. And a couple of reasons why I like this spot here for Temple. You know, I mentioned, you look at a performance that Wake Forest had earlier, or last week, I should say, against Florida State. Temple got absolutely embarrassed by East Carolina, lost 45-14. And now you've got an Army team coming off a win over Air Force, 20-17. So you've got a little bit of a letdown spot there for Army. And you've got Temple, who has already faced a triple option in Navy once this year, probably pretty pissed off after their performance last week against East Carolina. And it's also worth noting, Matt, that Temple, as a double-digit underdog, should have beat Navy. They outgained them 518-384. They lost on a 51-yard touchdown run with 39 seconds to go, and they went for two, Navy did. And I don't love this Army team, to be honest. Now, this would be great if we could get a loss here, because this would clinch the season win total under for the Black Knights. But this is not a vintage Munkin Army squad. Last year, if you remember, after the Air Force game, they beat North Texas 14-3, scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter. 2023, after the Air Force game, they played an FCS foe in Holy Cross, only won by 3. So I think you get a little bit of that letdown. You also have a Temple team a bit motivated. They're sitting at 5-4, needing a win to get to bowl eligibility. So for the fourth time this year, Matt, I will be betting Temple. I'm 2-1 ATS and hopefully making it to 3-1 ATS. Any interest on the Owls, or have you completely sworn them off this year?
Tim, right now I'm thinking about going to Chipotle and get some tacos, so I'd rather think about that than Temple. Yeah, I told you I checked out on Temple a long time ago. Yeah.
No, I know. The Oklahoma game was ugly. 42-3 loss as a 25-point underdog, but we did get the best of the number there. All right, a couple more games just to power through here, Matt. Stormy, by the way, will be on the sidelines for Cal and Louisville. There does seem to be something amiss with this Cal team. Brutal beat last week. You hate betting Jeff Brohm as a big favorite. They are a 19.5-point favorite, Matt. Louisville is at home against this Cal team who seems to be falling very, very fast here. So Louisville lay in 19, but you said you were out on Cal last week, and that was the right choice because you got to avoid the misery was that backdoor cover.
Tim, I said I was out on Cal a month ago, and since I jumped off the Cal bandwagon, the Bears are 0-3 ATS with a couple of excruciating bad beats, right? The one of Virginia and the one last week, so I have no regrets bailing on Temple, no regrets bailing on the Cal Golden Bears. But yeah, this is a huge number. I looked at this the other day and said, wow, 20.5? Louisville should not be laying 20.5 in this game. But again, I'm not going to bite on the Golden Bears. I think the market's actually moved down to 19.5 today.
Another game in the ACC, Matt, I just wanted to make mention. Wes and I actually talked about this game on Wednesday. I haven't bet it yet. It is an ugly, ugly dog in Boston College, but man, catching double digits. They showed some fight last week against the Irish. I was impressed, maybe more disappointed in Notre Dame, but Boston College, I mean, what's the ATS record, Matt, when a head coach berates someone in the media prior to a game? It's got to be pretty good, right?
I don't know. What was Brian Kelly's record? He did that this year, right?
That is true. I guess I forgot about old BK.
I don't think Brian Kelly got it turned around. I don't know, but I'll tell you what. What's interesting about Bill O'Brien, and I understand where he's coming from, as coaches, you get sick of the negative questions from the media, especially when you're losing, getting your head caved in week after week after week, and you got these smart-ass reporters come in and ask you negative questions, and I used to be one of those smart-ass reporters who would do the same thing. So I can understand where O'Brien's coming from, but when he says, we're in the second year of this program, we're trying to build things, Tim, that argument doesn't fly with a lot of people, because you know what? Kurt Cignetti is also in the second year of a program. How's that going?
I think it's going pretty well. Last check, they're number two in the country and destroy everybody. But thought about taking the ugly dog. Might end up betting it, but won't be an official play here. SMU coming off the Miami win. Matt, a couple of games on Friday night I just want to make mention. Northwestern and USC. This will be a Friday night game on Fox. USC right now laying 14.5 at home. They're a very different team at home. You saw it firsthand when they destroyed Michigan. I want to read you a quote from the always complaining Lincoln Riley after they beat Nebraska over the weekend, Matt. He said, quote, now thankfully the Big Ten took care of us schedule-wise, and we'll get home at 3 o'clock and turn this thing over to play on Friday, and it is what it is. Lincoln Riley, always complaining, got a Friday night game against Northwestern. I'd love to take the Purple Cats here, but you saw them. USC plays very differently at home, and they're pretty darn impressive playing there at the Coliseum.
I also like the Purple Cats when they're big dogs. And then I think this is a pretty good spot, actually, to bet Northwestern. USC did get the win in Nebraska last week, Tim, but let's not be fooled. If Dylan Riola does not get knocked out of that game, might have been a different outcome. And I wasn't that impressed by the way Jordan Maiva and the USC offense played in general in that game. And again, I can't say enough about David Braun, the job he's done at Northwestern. You know, takes that job under, I would say, duress, under difficult circumstances. And he's got the Wild Purple Cats at 5-3. Here's what's dangerous, too. Purple Cats are off a bye. They're off that loss in Nebraska. After they'd won four in a row, they're off a bye and going out to USC, probably playing an opponent that doesn't have the utmost respect. Do you think the USC players are really fired up that Purple Cats are rolling into the Coliseum this week? Probably not. It's not the same as the Michigan game, right? So I'm actually probably going to take the points with Northwestern. I was looking at that, and that game does intrigue me. Because I think the Trojans might be caught sleeping on the opponent a little bit here. Northwood, Tim, we know at Northwestern is much more dangerous as a dog.
Yeah, we saw it earlier this year. They were able to get the cover against Oregon at home as a, you know, 3-touchdown underdog against the Ducks, and they were able to cover that game. So, you mentioned the bye. I do think from a situational standpoint, it's a good spot here for them. And USC also has Iowa on deck and then Oregon. So is this a kind of a sleepy spot? Also on Friday night, we've seen a pretty significant market move. You talk about a team on a high and a team coming off a low. Tulane loses and gets really destroyed last Thursday night by UT San Antonio down in San Antonio. And they ended up, you know, benching Jake Retzlaff late in that game. And Memphis goes off as a dog against South Florida, Matt, and they beat South Florida. Then they go beat Rice in what I thought was maybe a weird spot, not the case. But the market has kind of bet Tulane here. So this is a fun one on Friday night. Right now, Memphis is the highest ranked G5 team in college football, according to the College Football Playoff Committee. So this number was as high as 6.5. We've seen some love come in on the Tulane Green Wave as this now sits 3.5 or 4. Matt, I want to wrap with this. Air Force at San Jose State. One of my favorite stats that I saw this week. San Jose State, number one in the country in passing offense and number 136 out of 136 in the country in passing defense. Mm-hmm. We should get plenty of points in the Bay Area on Saturday night, 6 o'clock. This game will be on FS1. San Jose State is up to a 5.5-point favorite over Air Force.
You talk about a coach whose team's identity has changed completely. Think about Ken Niumatalolo when he was at Navy, and think about this team he's got at San Jose State right now. You know, I actually was on the VSIN by the Book show Tuesday morning with Super Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis, and I gave out San Jose State -3, -120. That was the number at Circa on Tuesday morning. That's not the number now. And in fact, I won't play it at the current number. I thought at 3, it was a pretty good bet. San Jose rolled up 630 yards against Hawaii last week. Did allow 496, but rolled up 630. Walker Egan, that spread and shred offense, I love it, man. 20 for 40, 458 yards with 2 touchdowns and no picks against Hawaii. And I think this is actually a pretty good matchup, too, because Air Force is not going to throw the ball much, Tim. Falcons are 2-6. They beat Bucknell and Wyoming, and they're off that 2017 loss to Army. And the Black Knights had 9 pass attempts in that game. So Army attempted 9 passes against Air Force, and San Jose is going to attempt about 50 passes against Air Force. I do like San Jose in this game.
Yeah, this one's going to be an entertaining one. You look at what's left on the schedule there for the Spartans, and if they win 3 out of their last 4, Matt, they will go bowling. So there's right. A lot of motivation, and Danny Scudero, that's a really fun wide receiver there for San Jose State. And as I mentioned, you know, Air Force coming off of the loss at home to Army, is there a little bit of a, you know, win taken out of the sails of Air Force heading into that game? All right, Matt, that's going to do it for the podcast. But before we get out of here, we like to keep things nice and tidy. So let's get to our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, lay it on us. Recap your favorite plays so far for week 11 of the college football season.
All right, I was pretty conservative last week. I kept it to 3 best bets, went 2-1. That puts me at 28-24. And 3, I'm going to let more fly here this week. I've got 8 best bets. Penn State +15. UConn +9.5. Iowa +6.5. Personally, there's no 7 out there right now, but I'm going to buy, if I have to, I'll buy the half point to +7. Wisconsin +11.5. Missouri +7. Clemson -2. UCLA -1.5. And late night in Honolulu, let's get there with Timmy Chang as a home dog, Hawaii +7.
All right, Matt, it was a painful week a week ago. As you've stated, there's a fine line between genius and jerk. And boy, if Arkansas and Cal take care of business, I'm feeling good, 4-2. Instead, I was a jerk, and we went 2-4. So 30, 33-3, embarrassing record. Let's hopefully get it rolling here. And looking forward to this card, and we'll start with a favorite, Texas Tech. I'll lay the 10 with the Red Raiders. Guns up here with Texas Tech. Wake Forest +7 against Virginia. Both you and I on the UConn Huskies +9.5 at home against Duke. I'll take the 3.5 -20 against Florida with Kentucky. I will also be on the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors late night with you, Matt, taking the 7 and Temple +7 as well at Army. A couple of games very close to the card, but ultimately didn't get there. And check out the Saturday College Football Tailgate Show starting at 9 a.m. Eastern on VSIN, Sirius XM Channel 158, handful of regional networks, Marquee Network, Masson, and Nesson in New England to check out if I add more games to the card. But that's going to do it for the podcast. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks again to Wyatt Tomchek and Ryan Hunter, the producers of this podcast. For Matt Newmans, I'm Tim Murray. Let's have ourselves a winning week. This has been the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.